Many people think of orchids as exotic plants that must be hard to grow, but that certainly isn't always the case for sure. It isn't necessarily the case. Larry Mueller here. Great to have you with us for another edition of Garden Talk. Today we visit with John Wirth. John's the conservatory curator at Olbrich Botanical Gardens, has a wide range of experience with tropical plants and especially orchids. You may have an orchid that isn't doing so well, or maybe you'd like to get one. I hope you'll join in with your questions or comments. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. We'd love to hear from you. And John Wirth, welcome. Good to have you with us.
Thank you, Larry. Thanks for having me.
You've had a lot of experience in this area, and I know that you were you did a lot of work on the Bolts Conservatory at Olbrich Gardens and really designed it, didn't you?
Yeah, when I arrived 27 years ago, the structure was there and the soil was in place, and that was about it. And we had to fill that up. That's 10,000 square feet with tropical plants. So I went out and I contacted a number of other botanic gardens to see if we could get some plants I could donate, and then also took a trip to South Florida to the nurseries down there to pick up the plants.
Well, it is an absolute beautiful place to visit. You know, I always tell my students here at the university that they should, it's a great place for a date. Because you can, the entry fee to get into the Bolts Conservatory is like $1.
Right.
and you can spend as much time as you want in there, and it's on different levels. There's a waterfall. I mean, it's beautiful.
Right, and we also do have some animals in there, just a few birds. We have canaries, and we have quail. We also have some geckos, some Mediterranean geckos, which are pretty large, but people generally don't see those because they tend to hide on things like the heat vents. When I go up on a lift to do some pruning, I occasionally see them, but most of the public does not. But you're right. We've got a waterfall. We've got a stream and a pond. It's on two different levels, and this was part of the design, which I thought was a really good design, is to get people up into the canopy of the rainforest, because actually that's where most of the life is in the tropical forest. It's in the canopy, and so people can see what's going on in that area.
And some of those trees are how big that are in there?
Well, we have 50 feet to the top of the conservatory, and every year when I go up there on a lift, it's a 50-foot lift, I go up usually about the second or third week in March. I have to trim back enough so that it doesn't push through the glass. I was at a seminar once where someone was saying that they have had trees actually push the panes of glass out of the conservatory. So we're trying to avoid that at Olbrich.
Oh, man. Well, there's orchids in there. There are orchids in there for sure. How many orchids do we... How many orchid varieties are there? Thousands?
Yeah, there are. And some say that it's the largest plant family, around 25,000 different species. And now if you take the number of hybrids that have been crossed back and forth, that's well over 100,000. So there are quite a few out there, and people are hybridizing orchids every day. And they're still discovering new species of orchids.
Yeah, they grow in the wild. And in fact, we have some wild species here in Wisconsin.
Right.
I
think there are 25 or 30 species in Wisconsin. They're all terrestrial, all grow in the ground. Some of the tropical orchids do grow on the ground, but most of them do grow in trees. They're epiphytes. They live on the trees. They don't derive any sort of nutrition from the trees. Basically, they're just using for stabilizing.
And so that's when you get an orchid, you may have some wood or something to plant it right into, or what do you...
Right. And depending on the type of orchid, some of the epiphytic orchids, you can mount them on various things. Some people use cork, which is good because it's a renewable resource. It's harvested in the Mediterranean. That's a good straight to secure them to. Also, sometimes people will use tree fern bark. That is not so much. Apparently, they're kind of decimating some areas with cutting down the tree ferns. But You can have them growing on something like that, like a slab of cork. On the other hand, you can grow them in pots also. The thing to remember about orchids, they grow on branches in nature. Their roots are exposed there. They're not in soil like we typically think of plants. And so you have to make sure that, in fact, those roots get a lot of air exchange. Mm-hmm. And if you do plant them in a pot, put the material you use has to have something like bark chips in it so that you get a lot of air into, down into those roots. And that bark has to be changed out every couple of years or so.
Yeah, and people, I think, sort of get disillusioned with their orchids. And I'm just looking over on Facebook. Elizabeth on Facebook says she keeps finding orchids in the trash while walking her dog. She's found four so far, and they have all bloomed or rebloomed without a problem. Right. So Elizabeth knows apparently how to do it.
Well, and I think for the most part, people tend to kill them with kindness. They aren't that difficult. Some are more difficult than others, but that seems to be, overwatering seems to be the number one cause of death in orchids.
If you're watering, I mean, how much, you know, a typical orchid, what do you, every once a week or?
It really depends on your situation. During the winter when we have our furnaces on, the air is relatively dry. They may dry out more quickly than they do during the summer. If you don't have your air conditioning on, it gets fairly humid in the house. They may not need quite as frequent as watering. But the important thing here is to make sure the watering is very thorough. You have to think about the roots at the bottom of the pot. If you have a 10 or 12 inch pot and you're watering with a half a cup of water, those roots at the bottom of the pot are not receiving any moisture. Better to give it a good shot of water and then let it dry a little bit between waterings.
Yeah. John Wirth, our guest today, talking with him about zeroing in a bit on orchids. I'm sure we could talk about some other tropical plants as well with him. He's the conservatory curator at Olbrich Botanical Gardens. Join in with your own questions at 1-800-642-1234. We got a pretty orchid photo. I'd love to see that up on our Facebook page, too, The Larry Mueller Show. You can post that, or if you can a question about a particular orchid or tropical plant you have, you can post a photo of that up as well on The Larry Mueller Show Facebook page. So 1-800-642-1234, email at talk@wpr.org, or post on our Facebook page, The Larry Mueller Show. And I want to go back looking here on Facebook. Carrie says she has a natal mahogany that has scale. Any ideas on how to save her tree? She's new to having plants and asks you to please break it down so it's easy to understand, which I can relate to that, Carrie. Thanks for that Facebook question.
Yeah, so scale is rather difficult to eradicate on a plant. It's going to take quite a bit of concentration on that. You can take an easy way, I don't know how large the plant is, but some of the plants you can actually take a cotton swab with rubbing alcohol and rub that through the plant. That will rub the insect off and also the young ones. Now, what you see as a scale is actually what's left of the mother. Her young come out from underneath that scale, and they're very, very tiny. They're called crawlers. So even though you take off all those little scales, you probably got some little ones running around there too.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can try that if it's a small plant. Otherwise, there are some safer things on the market. There is a horticultural oil, and there also are products that are soap that will work very well. I still would use caution with those. I'd do it, spray it in the garage, or once the weather warms up, spray them outside. But be persistent with that. Spray it once a week for 3 or 4 weeks, because even though you think you may have gotten the insects, that next generation you may not have gotten with your spray.
Are they in the? Are they always on the leaves, or do they wind up in the soil as well of the pots?
I haven't seen them in the soil.
Okay.
Generally, they're either on the stems or on the leaves, and most often you'll find them on the undersides of the leaves. That's the easiest place for them to feed.
And I know for alcohol, you got to be a little careful with that as well, because right, you can start I don't know, damaging your leaf if you go too heavy.
Yeah, some of the leaves are very, very tender and sensitive with that. I've also just spray hard sprays of water can work sometimes, too.
Throw it in the shower?
We We use that, we don't throw it in the shower, but we use that method at the conservatory at Old Red Gardens.
Yeah, there we go. Mary in Wausau has a question for you. Let's go there. Hi, Mary. Thank you for calling.
Thank you for taking my call. Good morning.
Morning.
I have a two-year-plus phalaenopsis that's been blooming constantly. It has 18 blooms on it right now.
Wow.
And it has roots every which way and then some. And it's in this original pot, which is about 3 inches in diameter. And I'm wondering, how do I know when to repot this thing? And do I wait for the blossoms to be gone, or what do I do?
Yes, Mary. Actually, this time of year coming up is the best time of year to repot plants. They'll be putting out more roots, healthy roots at this point. So anytime within the next 3 or 4 months would be a good time to do that. Now, phalaenopsis tend to have roots that go all over the place. It sounds very typical, the one you have. And again, that's just the way they grow in nature. They grow on a branch, and the roots are all over the place. When you take it out of that pot, you're going to find some roots down at the bottom that look very soft. And you can use a sterile pruning shears, take and cut those roots away. And then the new roots that are out, you're obviously going to place that in a larger pot. Try to put some of those in the soil, but you don't have to try to squeeze all of them in the soil. One other thing that will make it easier, sometimes those roots are very brittle. Before you repot it, put them in some warm water for a half hour or so. That'll make them a little more easier
good idea.
To work with.
Yeah, good idea.
Very good. Thank you so much.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Thanks, Mary. Appreciate the call. And let's go to Connie in Green Bay next. Hi, Connie.
Hi. I have an orchid that I got as a gift from, a grocery store or whatever. And it was a nice bloom, and then the blooms fell off, and then the stems died, but I've got beautiful, nice green leaves, and I repotted it into a pot that has the holes around the side,
right?
You know, but I don't know. It's not doing nothing. Is there anything? Is it ever going to bloom again?
Generally, Connie, there are a couple of reasons for that. How long has it been since it's flowered?
It's been about 6 months.
All right. It may just be a matter of waiting time-wise. Some orchids can flower twice a year. Some will flower on and off throughout the year. But many orchids flower once a year, and that has to do with day length. So it may just be a matter of waiting. The other issue is light. Without knowing exactly what kind of orchid it is, they need fairly good light. They definitely don't grow that well or flower in very low light. If you move it to a sunny window now, say a window that gets early morning sun, make sure you do that gradually so you don't burn the foliage.
I got it in the kitchen, and it's got a south exposure. And see, I get more moisture in the kitchen with
sure.
that type of thing. And so that's where I've got it.
That sounds about right. Okay. South at this time of year, south-facing would be perfect, wouldn't
it? Right. That would be great as long as it's not directly in the window getting hot sun, but back away from the window.
No.
That would be great. The other, again, without knowing what type of orchid it is, some orchids need a cooler temperature in order to initiate flowers. Now, sometimes if you have a room that you don't heat quite as much in the winter, a cool extra bedroom, something like that, it might help to put the plant in there. Also, placing a plant outside during summer and leaving it outdoors late in the fall, obviously you don't want it to be frosted, may help. Now, that depends, again, what kind of orchid it is. That was generally cymbidiums and maybe some of the cattleyas. And if you can find out exactly what this is, that would help a lot.
Yeah.
You could go online and take a look and at just go orchid varieties. You're going to get...
Now, where will I find... If it does start to bloom or grow, where am I going to see it starting to grow?
Well, that really depends. Now, do you know where the flowers were before? Can you see that on the stem?
No.
Okay. Because generally on most orchids, if you see where it's flowered previously, you'll see right above that is where the next set of flowers will come from.
Oh.
But in some flowers, that's not the case. Some flower at the end of the leaves, some flower on the stems, and so it really does vary.
Yeah.
Okay.
There we go. Good luck. Thank you so much, Connie.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, appreciate the call. You can join in, too, 1-800-642-1234. Email at talk@WPR.org or post on our Facebook page, The Larry Mueller Show. I'm Larry Mueller. John Wirth from Olbrich Botanical Gardens, our guest today for Garden Talk. Next week on Garden Talk, we'll take a look at native alternatives to non-native flowers and plants. So I hope you can join us for that. Right now, taking a look at growing orchids with John Wirth of Olbrich Botanical Gardens. Great to have him with us today. And certainly, there's a line open for you at 1-800-642-1234. Let's go to Ruth in Racine next. Ruth, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. I just tuned in, so this question may have been answered already, but I have an orchid that we bought in Hawaii when my granddaughter was born, and it's 26 years old now. And
Wow.
And the leaves are huge, but after it gets three leaves on, the bottom one always dies. So I've been cutting that off. Mm-hmm. And after it blooms, I've been cutting the dead stem off.
Okay.
And I'm not sure if that's correct, but the problem that I'm having right now is the flowers are getting smaller. It's starting to bloom again. And the flowers are noticeably smaller than they've been before. I was giving it a liquid orchid fertilizer, like maybe every other time that I water it.
Sure.
And I do water it thoroughly all the way through the pot.
Excellent.
But some of the roots are like showing up black, and I do have a special orchid mix or something that I got at Stein's or whatever. You know, it looks more like pieces of bark or whatever.
Right. Yep.
And I have been refreshing that from the top, but, you know, so I've got a number of questions here, and I'm wondering if I need to dump the whole plant out and refresh the whole thing, or, you know,
yeah.
I don't
that
know.
That sounds like a plan, doesn't it, John?
It certainly does. That's exactly what you should do. You were talking about some of those blackened roots.
Uh-huh.
Orchids will make new roots from time to time, and the old ones turn black and will, if they're in nature, fall off. But what you need to do is take the whole root system out of that pot, sterilize whatever you're using for pruning tools, like something running it through a flame or putting in a 10% solution of bleach, and then cutting off all those dead roots that you see in on the undersides, and then replanting it in that new mix that you have. And yeah, adding it to the top doesn't really help as much as down below, because what's happening there is anything that's down below is probably starting to decompose, and it doesn't have that great air exchange that you want in there. It's probably pretty mushy down there.
Okay. I have a lot of roots that are like growing up into the air too, you know,
right.
Nice fresh green roots. Should I try to incorporate that into the mix that I put it back into, or should I just let them do their thing out in the air?
It's if they're up in the air, that's fine. If you can get some of those down into the mix, that would be great. And again, by moistening those for a half hour or an hour before you repot, it will make those much more flexible. But that's very typical of orchids, and you can actually, to help that out, if you do miss those roots, that will help quite a bit, because that's the way it is in nature. They get their moisture through those roots, and especially the root tips.
Okay.
Okay, and is watering it once a week enough? I mean, like I thoroughly drench it in the sink and let it drain and then put it back over by the window.
You know, I always hate to say a specific time, but I have found over the years that generally in a typical home situation, once a week is fine. Now, obviously, if towards the end of that week you're noticing some of the leaves are shriveling up a little bit, I would say you may need to step that up a little bit more, and it's going to change during the time of year.
All right.
Okay, and it's okay to cut those older ones off.
Absolutely. And also, I would wait about a month after you repot that before you start fertilizing. Sometimes you can fertilize a little too much, especially during our winter time. Generally, it's best to do it spring through fall here in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm.
And when you're and when you're sterilizing, do that between each cutting. I think John,
exactly. Yeah. Yes, they're very susceptible to virus, and you want to make sure you don't transfer that to anything or have anything on those pruning shears that could transfer a disease.
There you go.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thanks so much for calling. Appreciate your call. And just let's turn over to Facebook for a minute because Myra sent us a nice photo here. This is the first bud of 24 to open last week on my 7-plus-year-old plant, Phalaenopsis.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
This plant, somewhere I let it spread roots in a large pot in the shade, and I think must put it outside, and then put it in a fair-sized pot and brought it back in the house.
Excellent. You're obviously doing a fantastic job.
Yeah.
beautiful picture.
Yeah.
And that many flowers is quite an accomplishment.
Yeah, absolutely. And Chad sent a nice one, basking in the sun on a beautiful day. That's a nice photo as well. So thanks for those photos. You can send your photo in to the Larry Mueller Show. That's the title of our Facebook page. Let's go to Scott in Wisconsin Rapids next. Hi, Scott.
Hello, how are you today?
Great, appreciate the call. What's on your mind?
Well, I'm looking for a good book about raising orchids. I tried a couple years ago. My plant was probably one of those that lady found in the trash when she was looking around. It didn't go so well for me, and I'm anxious to try again. And I'm wondering, can your guests recommend what's really a very good book for kind of beginner going into a little more in-depth than like Orchids for Dummies or something like that?
Yeah. Actually, there are books that are written specifically for growing orchids in the upper Midwest, and I would try to find something. If you just Google that, I think you'll find some good books. Reason being is that obviously our weather up here is quite different now. It may be the same in the house, but we go through winter as we did in January, and we can go through 1 or 2 weeks of overcast weather, which makes it really difficult to grow plants. Even the plants in the conservatory suffer during that time at Olbrich Gardens. And so with somebody who has the experience of growing them in the upper Midwest, I think that would probably be the way to go. Making sure you don't fertilize again that plant during the winter months and start fertilizing only when it's growing. People either, number one, overwater their plants, or number two, they give them too much fertilizer.
Okay.
I actually think there's a book with that title, Growing Orchids in the Midwest or the Upper Midwest. I think there's a book with that exact title.
Okay. I will look for it. Thank you very much.
Yep. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. And Jan in Viroqua, let's turn to you next. Hi, Jan.
Hi, good morning. When I first adopted an orchid that had been abandoned, I didn't know any better, and I cut the flower stem off because the flowers had stopped blooming.
Mm-hmm.
And so now I've got two little plants that have no stem whatsoever, you know. Down, it's not that it's died back, but it's died back all the way down to the soil or to the moss, and I've cut it off. And what do I need to, is there anything I can do to stimulate them to throw new flower stems?
The thing that probably may help you, if you have the possibility of placing the plant outside once the weather warms, say in late May or so, and having it outside in a shady area may give it a little boost. Also, I would not fertilize that plant again until later on this spring, giving it a little more sunlight. Do you have it in fairly high light at this point?
I do. I have an unobstructed southern window, and okay. It's about a foot from the window.
Excellent. That's great. That's about all you can do. And the one thing about orchids, they're very rewarding, but you do have to be patient sometimes. So I think now that the growing season is coming on, and I've noticed this at Olbrich too, and in our greenhouses within the last couple of weeks, I'm just starting to see some of the new growth coming out in the orchids. So even in those conditions, it takes a while.
Okay. Well, I've got another larger orchid that I knew better when I bought it, and it's throwing beautiful buds right now.
Oh, excellent.
Oh, wonderful.
That's exciting. When you say drench the plant, mm-hmm. do you really mean drench it?
Well, I mean, put enough water through the pot so that you're going to get in. And a rule of thumb is you should have the amount of water that you put in the soil or the mix, you should have about 20% of that come out the bottom of the pot. Now, obviously, you don't have to measure that, but just get an idea. You do have to have a fair amount of water coming out the bottom of the pot. You want to make sure everything's moistened, but also you want to make sure that any buildup of salts in the soil are washed out down the sink. They will build up with fertilizer and even with water, so you want to get some of those salts out of the soil.
Right. I killed a couple of other orchids by getting them too wet, and I've got one now, the one that's doing the best, is in a plastic pot that only has holes in the bottom, but I haven't been watering it anywhere near that much. Does it need a different kind of pot?
It really doesn't. I've seen people grow orchids in just about any kind of pot. Yeah, and whatever, I feel like whatever works for you, definitely stay with it. Some people who, say, are gone a lot will put their orchids in plastic pots. As you say, they do not dry out as quickly, and that way if you're gone for 3 or 4 days, you don't have to worry. We have a lot of ours in clay pots at the gardens, but that's because we have a number of people watering the plants, and then also it's just a little different situation. And I've seen people grow orchids in ceramic pots that do not have any drainage in the bottom, which I've been amazed.
Yeah, how do they make that
exactly
work?
If something works for you, I would say stick with it. Otherwise, experiment.
All right.
Thank you so much. Great. Have a great weekend.
You as well. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate it. And by the way, we've got some open lines again, so you can get in pretty quickly here at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Let's turn to Kathy in Madison next. Kathy, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi, Larry. Glad you have the show. I have been growing orchids, from a gift for about the last 6 years, and it's been a touch and go, but I have basically been told with the first ones to use the orchid bark, the packages of orchid bark, and to make sure that they get, when I water them, that those wood chips actually sit in the water long enough to soak up the water. Mm-hmm. And then originally they told me 1 week, but I've now gone to every 2 weeks doing that kind of drenching in the kitchen sink.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm seeing products that seem more soil-like for orchids. I mean, mine are doing well. I mean, I have periods where they're, one is dormant and then something comes back. And, right now I've got 4 of them in full bloom. And they've been that way since December.
That's great.
I get them all year round. They're in a sunny window that gets at least direct sun probably, well, this time of year it's getting about 4 or 5 hours, and there's a shade tree out there in the summertime. It's less than that. So, I'm just wondering about the nutrition. I also, every time I water, I do one of those little one scoops in a gallon, the gallon container, and mm-hmm. then as the faucet's going down, I'm adding about 1/5 of my gallon with this fertilizer on top, so that it's going down into the top of the plant and is getting on the bark.
All right.
Is there something better that would, am I going to have better plants if I switch my medium to something that's more soil-like?
No, I would say to stick with something that has bark, and there are some orchid mixes out there that consist only of bark.
That's kind of what I'm using.
Okay, yeah. And that actually we found to be a great product, at least for our situation. One of the things that does not work well in Wisconsin is long-fibered moss or sphagnum moss.
Right. I don't do that.
Okay.
Yeah.
They grow that way in Hawaii and Florida, but I've had numerous plants when they get up here, they just dislike it. They stay wet too long. So anything. Right. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, so anything that has bark in it is going to be far better, and you should, in general, change that out every 2 to 3 to 4 years. And it depends on your watering habits. If you're not watering that often, and you're saying every 2 weeks, is that correct?
Yes. I've finally gone out that far, and it doesn't seem to affect them. I think they're blooming better.
Great. Yeah, probably. Yeah. Again, people kill with kindness. So I would be hesitant to change too much, but if you do think something needs to be repotted, this is, again, the time of year to do it and continue with that. Some of the orchid mixes are out there are for terrestrial orchids, the ones that do grow in soil and nature. And, again, that can happen in the tropics, but generally stick with that bark mix.
There we go.
Yeah. I had one other one that was a kind of a fan-shaped one, and that one I failed to connect with. it's one of those ones that shoots out right between the fan leaves, you know, and I get one maybe once a year.
Okay.
So and then it shriveled up and died on me. So I decided I wasn't the right person for it. Do you have any tips on that, though, because people give them to me, and I don't do well with those particular types.
So did that flower, did you say, did it flower for you?
It did twice in 2 years.
Okay, and what?
And, you know, it was one of those ones where, you know, the little sharp pointed leaves are coming out evenly up the main stalk, okay. and the flower stem just comes out in between them about halfway down.
Right.
And so you get this lopsided one, you know. It's beautiful, but I just didn't get the knack with it.
Right. Well, it could be, I'm just throwing this out, it could be a dendrobium, and some of the dendrobiums actually have a little bit of a dormancy during the winter. They need to be kept drier, and that's true for a number of orchids during the winter months because that you have to follow, again, what happens to them in nature. They get relatively dry, and then when the moisture comes or the longer days come, then suddenly they start growing or the flowers come out, and then you can start watering again. But, yeah, it's kind of hard to do, but some have to be kept very dry.
Yeah. Thanks a lot for calling, Kathy.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate the call. Back to Facebook for a second. We have lots of photos on Facebook, so if you're near your computer, take a look. Here's one from Diane. She wants to know, do these buds, they look like roots or are they potential flower stems?
Oh, well, what I'm seeing, Diane, here is that the part that is shooting out like cylindrical rods. You can see two of those on the right-hand side. Those were former flower stems. And the ones that are going down into the pod are roots. There is also a flower stem on the left-hand side. Now I see a new fresh root coming out on the left-hand side, which is a really good sign, and that will probably eventually go down into your soil. You can snip off, if it bothers you, snip off those old pieces of material. You can do that. But generally, this is a good indicator that it may be flowering soon. It's sending out those new roots. It's actively growing again. And so I would just hang on for a while. Mm-hmm. And other than that, from what I can see, it looks very healthy.
Yeah, it looks pretty healthy to me. And here's a really interesting plant from Patricia. I was given an air plant with long grass-like leaves. It's stuck into a sea urchin. You got to go online to take a look at this. It's a shell of a sea urchin, of course, and it hangs upside down. Is this good for it to hang it upside down? Should I care for it on my winter dry house now, and then do something else in summer?
Yeah, it looks like it's doing, and actually what it is.
I think it's doing pretty well to me.
It does. It looks very good. Air plant, or a tillandsia, and that is one in the bromeliad family, of course. The one that people know most often are the pineapples, are bromeliads. But tillandsias are found in very high light areas, and the reason you can tell that in most of these is the foliage has a little bit of a grayish color to it. That's an adaptation because the light is so high in those areas that it actually has to reflect some of the light off of them. So the more light it gets, it may get more grayish. If you're misting this daily, that's about the best you can do. I would probably, depending on your quality of your water, you might want to use something like distilled water to do that. And placing it outside during the summer would be a great idea. But again, we get those dry spells. You really should be out there every day giving a good shot of water.
And isn't that a great way to place it inside this sea urchin shell? That's really attractive, isn't it?
Beautiful. Just beautiful.
Beautiful. Well, let's go to Risha in Gays Mills next. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hi, Larry. My question is this. I bought an orchid for my husband for Valentine's Day, and it is flowering beautifully right now, of course, but it is in a pot with no drainage holes. And I just heard you say that orchids prefer to have pots with drainage. Mm-hmm. So my question is, how do I transplant this? Do I wait for it to finish flowering and then transplant it, or I don't know how do I get it out of this pot and keep it healthy and alive?
Right. Well, you're right in that it should be taken out of that pot at some time. I would suggest that you wait until it finishes flowering. Enjoy the flowers.
Okay.
And then maybe a month or so, try and get the plant out of a pot. Now, is it constricted at the top, or what kind of a pot is it, the pot itself?
It's about, 6 inches high and maybe, 3 inches round, and it's full of bark.
Okay.
And
So I'm asking that because sometimes if the tops are constricted, you may have to break the pot just to get it out without damaging the roots. But
okay.
If it's a typical flower pot, that shouldn't be a problem.
Okay.
And again, just gently, you might want to moisten it again. Those roots that are stuck to the inside of the pot will pull away much easier if it's been watered. And until you do that, until you repot that, just make sure you're giving, try to picture the soil, the depth of the soil, and just give it enough water to make sure that those roots at the bottom are being watered. Obviously, you don't want to overwater it, but it should be fine for at least a few months until you can repot it.
There we go.
Okay, awesome. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks for calling. And Sylvia in Appleton, your turn. Hi, Sylvia.
Hi. I have two questions, one of which was partially answered, and that's with the potting mixes.
Mm-hmm.
I had combined two different orchid mixes because I didn't have enough of either to transplant three orchids, and I very quickly lost two of them. And one of the mixes was mostly shredded as compared to the bark chunks. And
right.
I have the third one I did that's just barely hanging on. And I'm having a hard time finding just the bark.
Right.
The other question, because I put them over the sink and drain them, and I use heavier ceramic pots because they get a little top heavy. I have a Bellaria, Howard's Dream, and I was told that I should save the parent plant, which is now about 12 years old.
Okay.
And all that's left are about 6 what I call pads down on the bottom where the leaves have fallen off, and then there's one viable longer stemmed or longer leafed section on it. I've taken plants off of there already because they've got a lot of roots, and I have one that's got 9 flowers on it right now.
Wow.
Plus a couple of other ones and a couple that I've given away. Do I really need to keep that parent plant anymore because it doesn't look very viable?
Yeah, I think that you probably should discard that. It sounds like you have enough of the other plants, and that, unfortunately, is the way to go. Sometimes it's just to take that. It's provided you with a lot of other plants,
but
unfortunately, it should end up probably in the compost pile.
Okay.
All right.
Now, what about the potting mixes?
It's important, and I probably shouldn't give you a specific mix that we use, but it's...
No, you can go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah.
I found this actually in some of the orchid nurseries in Hawaii, and every single place that I went, they were using this material. Just like anything, you find so many new things that come out constantly, and it's, oh, this is the best thing since sliced bread or this blah, blah, blah. Well, the Orchiata has been around for quite a while, but I saw what it did to the plants in Hawaii, and I was sold on this stuff. And we've been using that at Olbrich now, and I just think it's the best. It's actually just bark. There's nothing else there, but the bark does take in enough moisture to give your orchids some moisture. If you don't want to use that, one of the things to look for in a bark mix, you can, when it's in the bag, squeeze those pieces of bark. Now, it's probably something like Douglas fir, they'll say fir bark. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it can be very soft to begin with. You don't want that. You want something that's rock hard because you don't want it to decompose quickly.
That's what I just tested a bag at one of the stores, and it was just mush.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
You don't want that.
Oil, water retention on it, and I said, that's not what I want.
No.
Right.
No. So go back to your. You've got some good garden centers in Appleton, if I'm not mistaken.
I've been having trouble finding the solid bark, though. But I will go and recheck around. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot. And Orchiata, is that how?
Orchiata, right?
Oh, all right. There we
Simple.
Go. Give that a try. John Wirth, our guest today. John is the conservatory curator at Olbrich Botanical Gardens. I'm Larry Mueller for Garden Talk here on the Ideas Network. Talking orchids today, primarily with our guest John Wirth, the conservatory curator at Olbrich Botanical Gardens in Madison, a wonderful place to visit. The Boltz Conservatory there is really take your breath away sometimes, especially enjoy going there in January and February, but it's good any time of the year, but it really is nice when it's cold outside to go in that conservatory and just take your coat off and have a short sleeve shirt on and just spend a couple hours in there. It's easy to do, I can tell you that. And John, you've spent more than a couple of hours in that place.
Yes, I have. I've been there. And I've been there for over 25 years, but generally our routine in the morning is we have three people on staff. All three are not there every day, but we're in the conservatory from 7 in the morning, and then we open at 10 o'clock, open the doors to the public. So we're there for at least 3 hours every morning, watering and maintaining and pruning, and we need to do that every day. Every day of the year, there isn't a single day, even Christmas, New Year's, and so forth, someone has to be there.
Oh, amazing. Well, Annabelle in Fort Atkinson has a question for you. So let's go to Annabelle. Thank you for calling. Hi.
Good morning. I have two Phalaenopsis orchids. One is I've had probably about 2 years. The other one I purchased, that was a gift. The other one I purchased, about a year ago. And I have two different kinds of reactions with them. They each... I have them in an area where they're close to, not real close, but close to a west window, so they get light all the time.
Okay.
The temperature is probably around 60, not much more than that, during the winter season, and then whatever the temperature is, you know, from the sun in summer is a little different, but... each one is growing some new leaves I can see coming in the center of the plant. The oldest plant looks to me like the roots that are coming out that look to be alive are above the surface. And they're around the inside of the pot. What I see, roots don't look like they're alive.
Okay.
And I don't know whether I should do anything with that plant or not. After it had blossomed, I did cut the stem back that was the flower stem,
right,
maybe 4 or 5 inches. It has never reflowered for me.
Okay.
It did reflower, or it has not.
Well,
it was flowering when I got it.
Right.
But I have not had it do any reflowering.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so I know it's inside the It probably is in plastic, but that is with inside another outside pot.
Decorative pot.
Okay.
And the plant, both of the plants came with a little tag that you should water with ice cubes.
Okay.
And they
ice
cubes.
Somebody else asked that question. She was told to put 3 ice cubes in or something.
Right.
Should she do that? So
And I've heard that's been going on for quite a while.
Yeah.
I think the idea there is not to overwater. That's what they're trying to do with that. But the problem is with that, these plants, most of the epiphytic or most of the tropical orchids you grow are tropical. They do not have 32 or 33 or 34 degree water dripping on their roots. They want something that's room temperature, and that's very important with just about all of your tropical plants, is make sure it's at room temperature before you pour it on the soil. So I personally would not recommend, but again, I'm sure somebody out there probably has a beautiful, beautiful looking orchid. They may have been doing this for 2 or 3 years, and I'd say go ahead and continue to do that, but that's, I think, one of the drawbacks.
Well, let me ask this question then. When you say that, if you take the 3 ice cubes and let them melt and then pour it on when it is at room temperature,
mm-hmm.
would that be better?
That would be better. Generally, and if you're in the, I don't know if you
Port Atkinson,
Port Atkinson area.
Yeah.
I know Madison's water is very, very hard, and often there'll be softened water in a home. You do not want to use that. That will be coming out of the warm faucet. You want to use cold water.
Yeah, I don't use soft water for my plants.
Excellent. And then let that cold water just sit out until it warms to room temperature. That would be the best thing to do.
But should I try to lift that out and get the roots that I think are live closer to the whatever the potting soil is? I'm not sure whether it's soil or bark or what.
Should be bark, probably.
Yeah, it should be
bark.
Probably bark,
but it's above. It's look like it's sitting up above.
Right, yeah. And that's very, very typical of these plants for that to happen. But I would definitely take it out of there. Again, you're restricting that airflow. I keep harping on that. It's very, very important to have a good airflow. So I would take them out of there, and if you need to repot it, again, moisten those roots for a half hour or so, and then try to put them in the new mix. If you can't fit them all in the new mix, that's not going to be a problem. They'll still do very well. One of the things that you mentioned about cutting it back and it did not rebloom, if it was a phalaenopsis, the next time, make sure when you cut that back, you cut it back right above one of the nodes. And what that is on the flower stem, you'll see a little bump right below where it flowered previously, and cut it right above that, and then you should get a new shoot out of that. The new flowers are going to be smaller than the original, but you should get it to rebloom.
Well, the other plant that I have I've had probably about a year, I did not cut back so far, and I think I had 3 flowering stems. And I can see that there is new growth coming out of some of those places.
Okay.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Excellent.
Yeah, excellent. Sounds great.
Thank you, Annabelle. Appreciate the call. You can join in, too, 1-800-642-1234. Let's go to Lucille in Luxembourg next. Hi, Lucille.
Hi. How are you?
Great. Appreciate the call. What can we do for you?
Well, I have a very old, old flower, and it's called, in my old books, I'm 72. My books are old. It's called an orchid cactus. But I looked in all books, and it has nothing to do with cactuses, so I'm thinking it's got to be a orchid of some sort. And I'm wondering, I've called and looked and everything. Nobody seems to know what I'm talking about.
There are some cactus.
Do you have any idea what I'm talking about?
Yeah, there are some cactuses that will flower and produce an orchid-like flower.
Exactly. That's exactly what I was going to say. Some of the flowers on the cactus do look like orchid flowers. And we often think of cactus as something like the saguaros in southwestern U.S., the tree-like or the round ones, but there are cactus, epiphytic cactus. Again, they grow just like orchids on trees, and they will produce these beautiful, beautiful flowers in shades of pink and white and even red in some cases. Mm-hmm. So you probably do have an orchid cactus.
Okay. Now, this flower gets to be, when it flowers, it's about 2.5 to 3 inches long, and it's got, like, layers, you know, petals in layers.
Right.
Yeah.
And
typical.
And sometimes it just, I lived in Two Rivers, Wisconsin, and it just was full of blossoms. And in Ohio, it was full of blossoms. In Oklahoma, it didn't do nothing but survive. And now I'm back here in Wisconsin, in Kewaunee County, and it's doing nothing but surviving.
Well, I bet the sunlight probably was a little different than everyone, John.
Yes.
Probably some other things. What else might have?
Absolutely. I was just going to say that the sunlight could have been different. They like a fair amount of sunlight. You wouldn't want to put them in a dark corner. The other thing is they do, some of those will be stimulated to flower by giving them some cooler temperatures. That's, again, something that people will often put out on their porch during the summer in a shady area, expose it to some of the cooler temperatures, not frost, but cooler temperatures in September, maybe October, bring it in, and then hopefully 2 or 3 months later it'll flower. Some of the orchid cactus, they'll call them orchid cactus, but the Easter cactus, Christmas cactus, will flower just at certain times of the year.
Although my Christmas cactus that I had flowered all the time because I kept it in a cool spot, and I never watered it. I never took any care of it.
Excellent.
It flowered all the time.
There's another case where sometimes benign neglect is the best thing.
It's not a Christmas cactus.
No.
I have them too.
Right.
And it's not that.
It's more like a little barrel, I'll bet.
Well, yeah, it's like a three-sided.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. Three-sided cactus. It's probably smooth with some spikes on it, and those kind, I've had those. They flower really very nicely. Well, John Wirth, our guest today. John is the conservatory curator at Olbrich Botanical Gardens. He's been doing it for 25 years. He designed the layout and planted the tropical plants of the Bolts Conservatory. Our guest on Garden Talk on the Ideas Network. Great to have you with us for this edition of Garden Talk. I'm Larry Mueller with my guest, John Wirth, conservatory curator at Olbrich Botanical Gardens. Been there for over 25 years and knows a whole lot about orchids and a lot of other tropical plants. So it's great to have him along. I was zeroed in a bit on orchids today. Questions for him, join in at 1-800-642-1234. Email at talk@wpr.org or post on the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page. And we have open lines. You can get on pretty quickly. Ron and Nina up next. Ron, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hello. I have a tropical bulb that I bought at Menards. I think the package called it a freesia. I planted it 2 years in a row in my front garden, and all it ever did was throw up stalks, the big leaves, and nothing else. Last year, I planted it in a pot, and it threw up the big leaves, but it got to be the end of the season, so I was going to pull it, but I didn't have time, so I brought the pot in the house. I didn't have time, and a month later, one of them died off. The other one sent up a stalk and a beautiful bloom. What did I do right?
What did you do right? That's a good way of putting it. Exactly. And what you did, Ron, was you left that plant outside exposed to cool temperatures. Freesias, I believe, are native to South Africa, so it's not really, it's sort of that maritime climate where it doesn't get really cold and it doesn't get really warm, and freesias like it cool. And so I would do the same thing again, is to pot that up, grow it outside, but then leave it outside in the fall as late as possible. And that should stimulate flowers for you again. They're very, very fragrant, aren't they? They're very amazing flowers.
Yeah.
I never got my nose close enough.
Oh, he didn't. Okay. Maybe this next fall you'll have some.
Now, I had it in, like, I think a 6-inch pot, and I had two bulbs. Is that too small a space for two of them, or should that have been okay?
I would say it depends. Did you find that you were watering it very frequently, or was it hard to keep it moist?
Actually, with it being in the pot, it watered frequently by Mother Nature and my wife.
All right. All right. That's generally a good indication. I wouldn't put it in a really huge pot. Tend to keep them in a smaller pot. But again, if it's too small and you're out there watering it twice a day in July, that can be a little too much in order to grow that well. So I would just put it in a pot where you think it just isn't going to need a ton of water. Did you say you placed the pot in the ground also?
Okay. That would be a good way to get back out in the front.
Yeah, that's another way to do it. Plus, put that pot in the ground. You, of course, get some roots growing out of the bottom into the soil, but you can cut those off. But that way, you let Mother Nature take its course pretty much. You will have to water occasionally, but that might help.
Yeah, good luck. Thanks so much for joining. Appreciate your call, Ron. Let's go back to Facebook for a minute because we have some more beautiful photos. Mike sent one of two cymbidiums in bloom today, so that's a photo right from today, and they really are pretty, aren't they?
They're absolutely gorgeous. That's a lot of flowers.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that many flowers on a cymbidium in quite a while.
Yeah, that's gorgeous. Good job, Mike. And here's one from, this is on our visitor posts, and I don't have the name of the person. Maybe I... from Gigi. All these lovely orchids are in bloom. I wait many months for some of them to bloom.
Absolutely gorgeous. It looks like there's a yellow and a pink Phalaenopsis. There are just tons of flowers on there. And actually, it's a nice background, too, to have the asparagus fern on there. That adds quite a bit, I think, to that shot.
And you can see that. It's in that nice window with getting a lot of good sunlight.
Yeah.
So
good job.
Good job. Marie in Jefferson, let's go to you next. Hi, Marie.
Hi. First, I want to tell you that I attended the show, the Orchid Show, and it was absolutely wonderful. And I brought two orchids home with me. One of them is a Cattleya, I guess I'm saying that right, mm-hmm. and a Phalaenopsis. And they are just doing beautifully. But what will they only bloom at this time and not again in a year?
The Cattleya may bloom again, depending on what species or what type it was, may bloom again next fall. That's a possibility. It really just depends on the type. The Phalaenopsis, they, strangely enough, they're supposed to be flowering maybe in the fall, winter. I've seen them where they're bloomed. They just decide to send up a flower shoot in the spring or summer. The Phalaenopsis, a lot of times those flowers will last 6 months or more. But the Cattleya is a Cattleya, is it a fragrant Cattleya?
No, it isn't. It's a kind of a tangerine color with a little brighter orange in the middle. They're absolutely beautiful. It's not a real tall plant.
Yeah. It's one of the things, too, to keep in mind, and I know I get the comment from a lot of people that orchids do not have a scent. Well, actually, a lot of them do, but the scent is only there when in nature the pollinators would be around. So they might have a great scent at 6 o'clock in the morning, and then by 10 o'clock in the morning that scent is gone. Or some of them are pollinated by moths, and they'll only be fragrant at night. So, keep checking. You never know. You might have something there.
Okay. Well, we had a wonderful time. I had a wonderful time. It was very well attended.
Yeah.
You can't, you can hardly go to that show without going home with the plant.
No,
I mean, it's pretty hard.
Yeah, it was a great show, and I really have to say that the Madison Area Orchid Growers Guild did a fantastic job putting that on. It's an all-volunteer organization, and they really did a great job.
Yeah, yeah, they do every year.
Thank you. I took 39 pictures.
Good for you, Marie.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot for calling. Well, open lines, we get you on really quick now at 1-800-642-1234. Give a call. Deb on Facebook says that if asks for a few tropical plant suggestions that are easy to grow in Wisconsin and can go dormant inside over winter or just use as a houseplant. So,
all right. So wanting something that will do well, generally plants such as peace lilies, they're also known as botanically Aspathophyllums. They do very well in a number of different light situations, not real hot sunlight, but they'll do fairly well in a shady area. They also put up white, beautiful white flowers, and those are fragrant. The other thing that you can possibly try would be a Chinese evergreen. There are tons and tons of those out on the market. I see new ones coming out of Florida quite often. Beautiful plants. They take a fair amount of neglect, I should say, as they, you can put them in a low light area. And if you're not there watering every week, if you miss a few days, generally they'll be very forgiving. So those couple of plants will do well.
Michael on Facebook says that he and his wife were given Trichocentrum subuletta? Forest princes. That's why they have those other names. Forest princes from Costa Rica. Unfortunately, there were no planting or care instructions with the plant. The plant is packaged in a growing gel, and he's hoping to learn planting and care instructions.
Yeah, the Trichocentrums are quite beautiful orchids. It depends. Some can grow in cooler areas and some will take it a little warmer. I'm just going to hope that this one will do fine in your house situation. But if you said it's in some kind of a gel, and if it's in something like it's in a pot, then I would say go ahead and put it in a small-ish pot. And that's one thing I should mention, too. Orchids tend to like to be in small containers. Putting in a large container sometimes could lead to very quick death. So try to keep it as small as possible. And placing in a bark, if it looks like it needs to be on something like a flat piece of flat material, you might want to try putting it on a piece of cork. It gets a little more difficult in the home situation, but if you can keep that plant grouped with other plants, that will give it a little more humidity. And also, when you do water it, best thing with that is to take it and to immerse it into a bucket of water rather than watering it over the top if you mount it on something like cork.
Mary in Madison, thanks for calling. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Great, appreciate the call.
Thanks for taking my call. I have two Phalaenopsis. Both have, they're not blooming, and they have, their leaves have become quite leathery, almost shriveling, but they're still very green.
Right.
They're in bark, great southern exposure.
Okay.
Just not sure what I'm doing wrong.
Well, a couple of things. In native habitat, again, they're an old world tropic, meaning they grow in places like India and also Thailand, so forth. They grow in very shady areas. I had a Phalaenopsis once in my house that I had back from, it must have been 20 feet from a south window. It did very well. So you may be giving it a little too much sunlight. You might want to pull it back a little bit from that window. And also then the question is, when was the last time it was repotted? It sounds like there may be something going on with the roots. The water is not getting into the leaves. When they get that sort of wrinkled or, you said, I think wrinkled or puckered sort of look, you may be watering it, but it's just not ending up in the foliage. And so you really, if it's been a couple of years or so, you should take it out, again, cut off those dark old roots and put the new ones in a new soil mix.
Okay, wonderful. All right. I have another question regarding watering.
Okay.
I do tend to, I'll take 2 4-cup measuring cups and put the pot inside that, pour the water through the plant and let it collect in that watering, that 4-cup measuring cup, and then pour it
use that same water to rewater the same plant again and again and again, like collecting it and reusing it.
Right.
Is that okay to do? Or
well, the only thing that that's doing, again, it depends on your type of water. If you have very nice pure water, that's not going to cause too many problems. But if you have, as again in Madison, very hard water, you're going to take all those salts and any salts from fertilizer, and you're going to keep recycling that back to the roots. Once those salts or fertilizer get to be too high of a concentration, they can start causing some damage to the roots. So I personally, I would take it, and I would use fresh water each time.
I use fresh water each time, but
okay.
I just use the same 4 cups of water for that, like watering this week, and
okay.
then I'll dump it, and then next week I use new water.
Excellent. That would be fine. That way you're making sure that everything's watered very thoroughly. That's a great idea.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Well, thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Mary. Sarah in Green Bay, hello to you.
Hi.
Hi. What can we do for you?
So I am... set it and forget it kind of mom. I'm like crockpot, and I really want houseplants that are set it and forget it houseplants because I kill them all the time. I have the blackest thumb ever, and no matter how much I follow directions on the little things that come in houseplants, for some reason they always die on me.
Right.
So right now, actually, somebody gifted me an impatient the beginning of last summer, and it's been on my windowsill, and that's the only plant I've ever been able to keep alive. And I don't know how. It's not blooming anymore with flowers, but the leaves seem to be doing perfectly fine.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not dying, and I'm excited. But I'd really like a few more that I could keep and kind of have like a set it and forget it kind of mentality. Are there any plants
sure.
that are hardy enough to allow me to do that?
Well, I would say one thing, if you're growing an impatience plant really well, you're probably watering it, doing a great job of watering. That's not one of the easiest plants to overwinter. It really is not. And so you do have pretty much of a green thumb there. I think we need to find something. Now, if you really wanted to just, as I just say, water it, forget it. I mentioned earlier there were the two plants, especially the Chinese evergreen. They're very forgiving plants. You can get those in very small sizes. They're great for that type of thing. But, of course, ultimately, you can start talking about cactus, and I'm not sure if that was something
I don't want. My cat would not appreciate cactus.
yeah.
No.
Although the Christmas cactus are certainly...
Those are beautiful, but
are.
I did kill one of those, and both of my poinsettias.
You probably overwatered it.
Yes.
Yeah, I have an orchid, you know, with the 3 ice cubes
mm-hmm.
once a week or whatever you do.
Yeah, right.
So that one's been sustaining decently, but I've only had it for about a month, so we'll see what happens.
right.
I feel like I'm giving off some vibe, and these plants are picking up on it. Maybe I need to do more yoga or something.
Yeah. maybe a possibility, but
But the Chinese evergreen, and is there another maybe like flowering? I'm not a fan of spider plants. I know those are pretty easy to maintain, and I'm just not a fan of them. I don't like spiders, therefore I don't like spider plants. But
okay.
Is there another flowering one that is somewhat forgiving that would just take watering? Because I can do that. I can do watering.
Yeah, there are a number of plants out there that it seems, I really do think you can probably grow a number of things. You just need to get the right plant. And there are some plants out there that are like a shrimp plant that will bloom occasionally, and that's a really interesting plant. You've probably seen the zebra plants, and if you've been in greenhouses and so forth, that's something that will bloom, of course, once the flower is gone. It takes quite a while for it to rebloom. The foliage you said in your impatiens looks good?
Yeah, the leaves look great. I mean, it actually is producing a lot more leaves right now.
Yeah.
There's actually some more stems, it's coming from the soil, but I don't see any more flowers at the moment. I haven't seen flowers in maybe about a month, but the leaves look great. They're still, have that sheen to them, and they look nice.
Well, that's that's generally a day length thing, so
yeah.
I think you might start seeing those put out some flowers here in the next couple of months.
Oh, good.
All right.
That's good news. Okay, well, great. I wrote down what you told me, so I'm going to go on a hunt, and hopefully my thumb starts turning a different color pretty soon.
Excellent.
It's already greening up with the plants you got there from the sound of it.
That's right.
Good going, Sarah. Stephanie in Fitchburg. Hi.
Hi, Larry. Hi, John.
Hi.
I have two questions. One is, I have a very high mortality rate when it comes to houseplants. Mm-hmm. Is there an orchid that is very easy to grow? And if so, how do I go about it? And number two is, I have been using water from the dehumidifier to water my houseplants. Mm-hmm. Is that maybe part of my problem? So that's it. I live here in Fitchburg, so I assume we have the same kind of water as Madison does.
Right.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, I believe you do.
Yeah, I would recommend not using. There can be contaminants on the water from your dehumidifier. I'm not sure if it's generally a copper coil. I'm not sure if copper is actually coming off, but there can be contaminants. So I would not use that water. And you were asking about an easy orchid. I always recommend the Phalaenopsis or the moth orchids for a starter plant. They are very forgiving, and they can tolerate a little bit of overwatering. They don't need a lot of sunlight. You can keep that 5-plus feet away from a window, and they will do fine. And they will re-bloom for you also. But I would look around. Again, moth orchids or Phalaenopsis, I really don't think you can go wrong with that.
No, I certainly agree with that. Stephanie, good luck. Thank you for calling. David in Whitefish Bay. Hi, David.
Hi. I just had a comment and a question. I just wanted to mention that there are a number of orchid societies in Wisconsin, in addition to the Orchid Growers Guild in Madison. There's the Wisconsin Orchid Society in Milwaukee in the southeast Wisconsin, also, and then the northeastern Wisconsin Orchid Society up in the Fox Valley, covering Green Bay, Appleton, and Neenah. And those members, there's websites, and our members are happy to help with questions and source of how to help grow plants. And actually, the Wisconsin Orchid Society, we have a show coming up in next weekend, the 24th through the 26th at Milliger's in Racine, so people can see the orchids, purchase them, and talk to members about questions. And I noticed that the Northeastern Wisconsin Orchid Society has their show on March 4th up at the Riverwalk in Neenah.
Excellent. Yeah, those are great.
I was just going to say they are all great societies, and you're right. If you can get involved with one of those societies, there are people who have had a lot of experience with orchids, and they can give you a lot of tips and help you out. And I know all the societies sort of work a little bit with each other, too. I know at the orchid show that was in Madison, was it 2 weeks ago, an hour, a week and a half ago, the Wisconsin Orchid Society was there, and I know that they have a good connection, too. But, yes, absolutely. Absolutely, and I think that's one of the best places people can go.
Yeah. Thank you, David. I appreciate your call. Samantha in Whitehall has a question. Hi,
yes,
Samantha.
Hi. I have a cat, and I was just wondering what kind of plant. I want to try to get a house plant or two that I can have in my house that if the cat were to try to eat the leaves, you know, I try to keep it up high, but if she were to eat the leaves, that it wouldn't hurt her?
Yeah.
That is something that I really don't want to give a list and say this is going to be non-toxic or this is toxic. One of the things that I've noticed over the years is that people have, humans now, have a lot of different sensitivities to different plants. We've had people working at Olbrich cutting certain plants that have broken out in a rash due to it. I haven't had a problem. I'm the person who, whenever I trim a ficus tree and it gets on my arms, I get all kinds of welts on my arms, and no one else seems to have that sensitivity. And so I guess rather than say there may be a list out there somewhere on the web that would say, yeah, these plants are non-toxic, but I guess I'd be hesitant to say, yeah, absolutely try this or try that. But you're probably just going to have to do a little more research and see if you can talk to somebody else has a cat.
Yeah, actually the Wisconsin, I just suddenly forgot the name. Poison Control Center.
Yes.
If you go online to the Wisconsin Poison Control Center, they do publish a list of plants that mostly are not toxic, or and the a list that are really toxic to cats and dogs. So you might just go online and check that out. And probably you're going to get the best information they've got right there. Mm-hmm. So thanks, Samantha, for calling. And John, thank you. What a trip. This has been fun. Thank you so much. I look forward to another visit, hopefully.
Oh, it's been a great time, Larry. I really enjoyed it.
John Wirth, conservatory curator at Olbrich Botanical Gardens. We'll get him back. We'll talk with him again about orchids and other plants. And I hope you get a chance to visit the Olbrich Gardens. They're fantastic. And thank you so much for listening. And please stay with us. Lots more in store on the Ideas Network.